Well, I appreciate your prayers. I was thinking about a little story in the scriptures. Jesus is talking about kingdom of heaven. He told of a merchant man who was seeking goodly pearls. And when he found a pearl of great price, he sold all that he had and bought that pearl. And I was thinking about what the attitude must have been of the man that would have bought a pearl like that. You imagine a pearl. Everything you've got, everything that you could liquidate, everything that you, to buy a pearl, just one pearl. Imagine what you must think. What this merchant man must have thought about that pearl. You think he was flipping it up in the air? Hey, Brother Mike, look at my pearl. I doubt it. He must have had an attitude of I've got something here. And I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to be flippant about it. I'm not going to lose it by accident. Because we don't put blame to accidents. We don't put blame to if you do something. I tell my children sometime. I don't want to be too hard. We all have those times of spilling things. But if they get foolish about stuff and they start spilling stuff, or if they start causing problems because they're not paying attention like they should, or that kind of stuff, then there is a place, though we all do accidents, but some of those things are caused because we're not putting enough importance on the things that ought to be put importance on. I think the merchant man must have, in my mind, would have put a great value to that. If he sold all that he had to got it, he wouldn't have been indifferent about it. He wouldn't have been casual about it, but he would have held it very close in a very safe place. He would have been very, very careful. And that's what I want to think about this morning over in 2 Corinthians. We'll look at the text there, 2 Corinthians 7. Eleventh verse says, "For behold, this same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you." That's what I want to think about this morning. What carefulness it wrought in you. I know that it's a busy time, a lot to do, a lot of things going on. I think it's natural, whether you're doing a lot or you're not. I think it's natural in life, of anything that takes a long time. It's not just a quick thing and over. Living for God, for most of the point, is a long, it's enduring. It takes something, and I think that it's very likely that we become casual or not careful. This says what carefulness that you ought to have about your salvation. It's easy after a while to allow it not to be as important. It's not as important as it once was. And so I'm not paying the same amount of attention to it as I was. I remember very vividly. I remember God dealing with my soul. I remember feeling lost. I remember thinking, if I die, I'm going to hell. I remember what God was doing to me, how God was working with me. I remember the conviction on my heart. I remember getting saved, and I remember what carefulness I had about something that I valued so much. My sins were forgiven. My guilt was gone. I felt a cleaning, a refreshing. I felt something valuable, and I had a carefulness because I protected it. It was very, very important to me. I wasn't indifferent. I wasn't flippant about it. I wasn't casual about it. But I was very particular about it. What carefulness it wrought in you. Carefulness to be a, some people are careful with their money, and they're called misers. But that's not the way you want to be careful about this. That's not a good carefulness. Because there's a lot of things you can do with money to make more money. That's not a good thing. This is diligent. It's not only being careful in the sense of cautious, but it's being careful in the sense of doing whatever it takes. That means diligent effort. That means careful about what I'm doing. Careful about what I'm saying. Careful about what my heart's putting its affections on. Careful about life itself. Careful about how much I've got to put into this and what I'm getting out of it. Careful about my eternal salvation more than my natural life. Being careful. What carefulness it wrought in you. All right, over in Luke's another verse I want to look at. This is used many, many times. 12th chapter of Luke, 16th verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? I suppose that a man that was in this situation, had he have known, and you don't know, and I don't know, nobody does know, but if, let's expand our imaginations a little bit this morning and say, you know, imaginations, imagine that if tonight the Lord comes and says to you, this night your soul is required of you. Now, I'm 51 years old. There's been people died a lot younger than me. I'm getting up to a place that I look in the local paper. Oh, I was out, my mother, she gets the Webster paper. I don't get it, but every time I'm out there, I said, well, what's going on in Webster County? And I'll read the paper. And time before last, when I was out there, she gave me the paper, and there was a couple people in there that I went to school with that had passed away. It was three people, actually, in the paper that I went to school with that had passed away, and about my age. And so I'm seeing it more and more. And so the reality of it is more and more, but people dying all the time. But this says, this man had his plans, he had his ideas, all of those kind of things. He was careful about a lot of things. He was worried about a lot of things. He had business to take care of, all those things. All that's natural, and we should do our business. But he left out something that's very important. He wasn't careful with his soul. He wasn't careful about the things that really matter. He let it slide. He let it slip. He saw what he ought to do. He had plans of life, and he took care of everything, and he thought and he trusted in things. And that's what this is talking about, and not to trust in uncertain riches, because they're not going to hold. They're not going to be eternal. They're not going to be valuable. But this man had plenty to start with, and his fields brought forth more plenty, and everything's going well, and he's blessed in life. And he allows that because of it, because of prosperity and because of the things. Many times, I mean, it's historic. Many people don't have anything that presses them or pushes them. I would say generally that we pray more when we're hurting. We pray more when things are bad. We pray more when troubles come. Not that you have to. They can make you bitter too. But there's something that usually stirs us to prayer. There's something that usually stirs us to, Lord, I need help here. Those kind of things. But there's times prosperity, and this man got himself in that thing. And this is the warning I feel like the Lord give me today, that we not be caught up in the times that things are going well. I'm not talking about little things that don't make much difference or not. I'm talking about serious things that drive us to the Lord. If they're not happening, we need to still be, what carefulness? What carefulness we ought to have about our souls versus what carefulness we have about the world. That it's going to not be eternal. We ought to, I think I'm careful about that. I want to be careful about things. And I thought about this and it affects. I'm careful about a lot of things. But am I careful, really careful, that I don't allow things into my life that isn't acceptable to the Lord? Am I careful that I get a diet? I'm careful that I eat. I'm careful that I'm getting nutrition. I think about those kind of things. Well, this is good for you, I said the other day. Well, hey, this is good for you. I'm going to eat something. Hey, this is good. I'm careful. We're careful about those kind of things many times. But are we careful to get a good diet of the Lord? Are we careful? Are we careful that our soul's lively? That we really got what we say? Are we careful about those things? Well, this was just one illustration. A man had plenty. And I say this many times with this scripture. This man did not fulfill any of this. He did not tear down his barns. And he didn't build bigger barns. He didn't do anything but one night consider life. He considered what life would be. The way we do. We sit and we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to accomplish. This is what I want to come out of it. I do it. You do it. We all do it. We're going to have a process here. This man one night sets and says, I've got an abundance in the field. I don't know if he had got his crops or not. They brought forth plenty. He's got a field full of stuff. He's ready to harvest. Barnes is not going to fill. He's setting one night, figuring what he's going to do about it, what he's going to do with life. And this is the way he considers it. I know what I'll do. I have to do something. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'll get with it tomorrow. Go to Lowe's tomorrow, get me a contract, I'll do whatever I need to do, get my worker. We're going to tear the barns down. We're going to build bigger barns so that when we harvest this stuff, I'll have plenty, and we're going to put it up. And then, boy, am I going to feel good about it. This is wonderful because I see myself being in a good situation. I've got plenty of food. I got everything set in order. With us, it's different. I got my bank account. I've got my bills paid. I've got all my wood in. I got the cupboards full. My freezer's full. I've done my butchering. Got everything set. And now I can sit and I can kick my feet up and I can say to my soul, you're in good shape. So you don't have to have anything to worry about. You're going to be in good standing here. It's all a plan. It's not happened with this guy. This is what he's going to do. And he never gets the opportunity to do it. And Lord help us. We be ready. Because if you're ready today and you're ready tomorrow, there's a good chance if you stay ready, you're going to be ready. The chances is that if you don't stay ready, if you're not ready and you're not staying ready, there's a real good chance you're not going to be ready. Is there promise today? Is there promise today that's going to come and stir my heart to the point, after I've let my heart go, after I let my passions go, after I let my desire go and they've not been in the Lord, is there a promise of a day that's going to stir this thing back up and get a fire going back in me that I care enough to seek God about it? Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness it was that you preserved. Something that you gave your whole life for. Way of life. You know that can slip? Over in Psalms, the 90th Psalm, 12th verse, It says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us. That's a prayer. Lord, teach us. Help us, Lord. I feel like I know what this writer was trying to say. Because I've lived enough life and the way life is. Nobody can number their days in a sense that I can know when I'm going to die. It's not really what it's talking about. But what he's saying is that, Lord, teach us to put the value on this number this day. What is this? The 27th? 427? 14? A day the Lord's give us. A day to live life. Help us to number this day as a part of my number. Help us to realize that life's short. You don't know how much life you have, but it's short. Numbering our days is the idea of saying, I know life is short and I have a limited, not unlimited, I have a limited number of days to accomplish, to fulfill something in life. There's people that say, I want to do something in life. Before I die, I really want to accomplish, this is what I want to do. I want to accomplish this. I know to some degree, this trip is a perfect example. I've come back in less than 3 weeks, I'm going to leave again, and I'm thinking in my mind, of all the projects that I'm trying to do. And sometimes I look at all my projects and I grab my fishing pole and go fishing. I say, I don't know which one to start, but I know that I know that I got so many days. I got so many days. I got 19 days at home. I wanted to till up a little ground and plant, me and Dry's going to plant some potatoes. The children's going to plant a little garden. I got a plan that. I'm numbering. I got a day. My house, all the floors in the house in the middle's sagging a little, and me and Dryas is going to go under there, and I got to jack that up and level that from the center and do that. And that, I was thinking, now there's a day in that, and I got some clearing that I want, and there's a day in that, and I got, I've got all this stuff, and I'm thinking, there's all this, and the time, and how much you're going to accomplish, and you need to go to the grocery store, and all those things. There's a numbering. There's a numbering of the days and the amount of things that to do in the day. This scripture says, so teach us, Lord, teach us. Help us. Help us to realize the value of a day. We live by increment. You're not going to just, spiritually speaking, you're not just going to arrive one day. But you get there by increments. And today is a very good day to set a goal, set a motion today as getting the amount of increment, getting the nutrition you need spiritually, getting starting the days of faithfulness. Help us, Lord. Teach us. Teach us the number of the day. Because if I'm going to be what you want me to be, Lord, I'm going to have to start somewhere. Teach us. He says that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, I want to make this a point. You will not always have the capability that you have today. Now, my father-in-law told me something recently, and he's, I don't know, he's up next 60 years old, and I see sometimes I think he'd be all right with me mentioning this. He talks sometimes with regret. And his regret is that when he was a young man, he wasted all of his money. He lived like many young men do. He made money, he spent money, he threw money, he done all this. And he says to me many times, oh, what I could have done if I hadn't have just wanted to just run and throw my, and all that. And now he looks and says, I would have loved to have had 100 acres. And I would like to have some cattle on it. And that's his love. That's what he likes to do and all this. And he says, I would like to have done all of this. But a man looking at 60 years old doesn't have the potential. And he did it 20. Understand? I mean, 40 years of a lifetime's gone. He looks back and he's 20 and said, you know, I could have went. Yeah, it was going to take an obligation of 15 years when I was 20 to pay off 100 acres. 15 years. That's years ago, decades ago. And he looked, but now he looks with regrets because he's saying, even 30 years I could have done, and all this, and he's saying what he could have, but now he can't. And what I'm saying is, you know, you're not always going to have the same potential that you do now. Your capability will change. I asked Brother Ed Wilson, recently, while we was out there a few days ago, I said, well, Ed, I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between being an old, you've got quite a few years on me. He's got 16, 17 years on me or so. And I said, you know, you're a generation ahead of me or more. I said, I've seen differences in my experience from the time I got saved, from my zeal to my passion. I've seen ups and downs. I've seen a mind change. I got a different mind about me now that I'm older than I did when I was younger. Some things I'm less tolerable, some things more. You know, you change in life. I said, what you change is being an older man. You're not totally an old man, but you're an older man. And if Lord tarries, I'm coming along with you. I want to number my days. I want to understand. Sometimes it seems like older people loses some of their convictions. Sometimes it seems like they gain things that's valuable in compassion and I mean, they seem like. And I said, so you know, give me your mind here. What do you change when you get older? And he said, oh, absolutely. Absolutely, things are different. Well, we had a little conversation about it, but I'm going to tell you, you won't have the same mind that you used to be. Oh, Brother Mansell, don't mind me saying this, Brother Mansell. I mean, I just want to use you just for a minute here, and you already know this. But the poem you recited, I seen a time that you wouldn't have missed a beat on that. I seen a time to where he wouldn't have missed a scripture, could have named them like that right there and never missed them a bit and quoted them exact. See, I quote in parts. I quote missing the these and the thous. Mine's not quotes. They're this. Brother Mansell used to quote. But Brother Mansell's different. Things have changed. You won't have the same capacity. To number your days means that you realize I'm numbering and putting value. I'm valuing this because I'm being careful about my soul because I'm going to tell you, you're going to need it. You're going to need to be faithful now. You're going to need to build a confidence in the Lord. Do you have a good confidence in the Lord? Because you're going to need a good confidence in the Lord. Not something that Brother Salmons used to do or Brother Jim used to have or somebody said or there was a prayer answered of the old way they used to be or the past. You're going to need a confidence in the Lord for yourself, a confidence that I know the Lord's real to my life. He answers my prayers. Oh, so teach us, Lord, number our days to see the value, to find the value of the days that we have for my soul. May it never be diminished. You'll not always, I wrote some things down here, you won't always have the access. Many, many people don't have the access that they used to have. There's been things that's happened before to life that they did not have the access to preaching. They didn't have the access to scripture. They didn't have access to the songs. There was things that happened before. You won't always have the access. You won't always have the ability. And I mentioned Brother Mansell, but you won't always have the ability. No matter where you're at now, you won't always have the ability to do that. We know a couple people that are blind or nearly blind. The ability is gone. You can't read if you can't see. I know there's listening materials and all that, but some people's gone deaf too. You won't always have the access. You know you won't always have the mind. Brother Donald sat in this congregation for a couple years, and as he went along, you know, Brother Donald was a very, to the saints that knew him in the past, was a very powerful preacher and a very powerful man of God. Many, many people had high testimonies of Brother Donald's ministry. Brother Donald didn't have mind to go back and forth in service much. He didn't have it, the mind by then. I don't know about the accountability and all. I'm just saying there's a time to get it. You can be alive and not have the mind to be able to really get any more than you've got. You won't always have the strength. There have been many, many people that's got down and did not have the physical strength. I've run into different times where a person said, I am void of strength. Pray where I can't. We've had to uphold many times people that didn't have the physical strength, their bodies did not have the physical strength to pray. You won't always have the desire. And Lord, help us that we not lose our desire. Because you won't always have the desire, and it isn't something that you can just pick up and let down. It isn't just a matter of saying, I think I need this, I better get it. No, it's something that needs to be fed more and more. You know, there's an acquired taste. I've heard of acquired taste in eating things. Well, I've heard them say, well, that's something you won't, I eat about anything. And when I started introducing people to ramps from away from here, different people in ramps, I was amazed that the people that really just got a hold, they liked it. I mean, liked it. Brother Ivan and his family just really likes ramps. Brother Dan Gellenbeck and Sister Hansa, they love the ramps. When I take them ramps, they really liked him. Sometimes I'd say, now this is acquired taste, but they jumped right in on this. But you know, something that I've found that I ain't found anybody that didn't grow up to. My mom used to make a big old stone jar full of pickled corn. And we grew up eating that, and my family all loved that pickled corn. And it keeps such a good yellow flavor, color, and it looks so good. And people looked at it and that love corn and say, "Mom, that looks just great." And oh, I can't stand the smell of it. If you don't have the desire for that, you just don't have the desire for it, and you'd have to really acquire it. And you know, you can't just say, well, I'll get the desire for the Lord. I'll get the desire. I think I'll just start doing things for the Lord. Really? What motivates you? Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to feed at your table. Teach us to like what you're feeding us. Teach us to have the desire. Want the desire. I'm going to tell you, there's a conflict in, we all know it, there's a conflict in life between desires. The flesh and the spirit. And once the flesh starts winning that battle and the desire for the Lord goes down and down, you can't just say, I'll get the desire of the Lord back. You'll have to have a divine work in the heart to get the desire back. I say keep your desire. You got a desire for the Lord? Keep it. Because what happens to most people that end up going away and losing out with the Lord is they lose their desire. We can lose our desire. Oh, what carefulness it wrought. Over in Ezekiel, 12th chapter of Ezekiel, I want to pick out a verse here. And say unto the people, this is the 19th verse, and say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment. that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. They shall eat their bread with carefulness. This alludes, I think, to a siege when they were going to Israel. The Lord was going to let these them be taken captive. And a siege on them. And the prophecy was in saying to them that they would eat their bread with carefulness. It's talking about, of course, naturally, a scarcity. And what value, we had in Sunday school this morning, was talking about water and the value of water. It was very, I don't think we even have an idea with the abundance of water that we have. We don't really have a good sense of what it means to be in them desert lands and really be parched and dried and really the value of what a flowing stream would be. Or we don't really understand, if you've never really been in those kind of places and what they was talking about here, you're going to have such a lack of food and water that you're going to put such a value on it. You're going to eat the bread with carefulness. Oh, this is valuable. This is valuable. This is my life. You know what I'm saying? This is my life. If you can get the picture of this, somebody with not unlimited, but limited. It's limited. And a piece breaks off. And it hits on the floor. Well, if it's big stuff, we do. I mean, it falls on the floor, you sweep it up and throw it away. Who cares for a crumb? But if you was limited and food was that valuable, you would pick it no matter what it landed on. You would pick it back up pretty much and eat it because it's valuable. The sense of it is here. The carefulness that we ought to have for the value that we ought to have on God's things. It ought to be very, very valuable to us. And it takes a desire. Lord, teach us. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to put the value on the valuable things. Let everything be second. Let the things of God, the value of a word of God. Do you have that value of the word of God? It can make a difference in your day. It can make a difference in your life. It can make a difference in your marriage. A morsel of God's Word, valuable to life. It can mean where you spend eternity, just a morsel. It's valuable, the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, I don't like to be discouraged. I like to be encouraged. And one morsel from the Lord is the difference. The word. A word spoken. And I think the Lord wants to be more active in our lives. I think the Lord wants us to be more careful about this life we live. 2014. Are we careful? Are we careful? What carefulness it wrought in you to want to be able to show and witness to the Lord. Witness for the Lord to the people who are around us. You know, I appreciate what Sister Billie Jean said for those that didn't hear it, but she was saying in Sunday school, she's talking about people only see it on the outside. People look on the appearance. So they look and their minds is that there goes those old people that, there goes those old women wear dresses all the time with their hair up on their head. There's that. They only see the outside. They don't look and say, there's those people that have the Lord with them. They don't say there's the ones that's battled through and got victory. They can't see the inside of our lives. But I'm gonna tell you the best chance for them to be able to see what's out there is to see it through the outside. Do you know that? It's got to go all the way because they can't walk up and say, oh, Well, that person's got the Lord in their life. And over here is a hypocrite, and over here is this. I see it plain. See it? No. They're always going to have to look on the outward appearance. But you know what? True followers of the Lord are careful people. They're careful. They don't just grab things and go with things. They don't just lunge and jerk and do it. They're careful about their soul. They're careful with what they take on. They're careful with their attitudes. They're careful, Lord help us, with their words. There's the avenue that most people is going to look and hear and understand what we have in the inside is by our, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It needs to speak carefully. It needs to speak accurately. It needs to speak honestly. For that's what the people is going to look on and see. Our lives are to be epistles of God. Lord, help us today that we be careful. And Lord, help us to number our days, because life is like a pattern that I set in my life. It's a habit. If I'm not faithful today, I probably won't be faithful tomorrow. And you say, well, I haven't been faithful last week and I wasn't faithful the week, but I'll be faithful next week. You know, generally, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere as a pattern of a desire. Lord, that prayer, Lord, teach us. I want to leave that with us today. Lord, teach us. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And what that's saying is, do you know, if you don't number your days and you don't realize that you're limited and you don't know where the days are going and all that, if you don't do that, the main idea is you won't apply your heart to wisdom. What the application to wisdom is in this scripture is that I know that I'm an eternal bound soul, and therefore what I do is going to be done in the light of eternity. That's what the wisdom that I'm applying to. And now I've got to make up I got to make my mind up between this idea that I can be a little dishonest but make a lot of money for this world. Applying my heart to wisdom, numbering my days means that I number my days to realize that if I was going to live here forever and I wasn't going to die and need that money, I would look at it altogether different. But since I know that man's days are just a few, and I'm a dust, I'm like dust or like a grass that grows and withers for a little while, then I make a choice. I number my days. And I make a choice on the fact of eternity. And I say no to the great prophet, and I choose honesty because I apply my heart to wisdom. I say I can feel a little better about myself. Somebody's done me wrong and I feel like they need to hear it, so I'm going to tell them about it. But numbering my days means I apply my heart to wisdom, knowing I'm going to have to meet God with what I've done. And I don't want to start a bad pattern in my life, so I apply my heart to wisdom. So Lord, help us. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. May we always realize, and this is part of this thought too, I'm not supposing that any will, but knowing that you can go out into eternity tonight. You can go out into eternity at any time. There is nothing set that says your days, your time may be running out. My time may be running out. It wouldn't be the strangest thing to ever happen for you all to get a call in the morning and say, Marty passed away. So Lord, help us to number our days. Teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom, because I look and realize that I'm a mortal man with a limited amount of days, it teaches me to be careful about my life. What the real idea of this is, and it's been used, but this is the idea of these scriptures. Live every day like it's your last. That's the idea. I number my days, I live this day with the possibility that this might be my last one. And if I get another one by God's grace and He gives me another day, then that one could be my last one too. I live my life in a perpetual state of living for the Lord as this is going to be my last day. I'm numbered, my days are numbered, and I'm living my life in a wisdom that comes from the idea that I, at the end of the day, I may not get another day. So I'm going to live my life in my decisions based on the idea, not that I will, because if I knew I would, I wouldn't plant. But the fact that I could, then it makes me to go ahead and do the normal things of life, but always living with the idea that I must be faithful to the Lord. You pray for me.